Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is Shamika Tia. Today is Sunday, February 19th, 2017. Thanks for joining us today. Today's show is titled, What is a Hebrew Israelite Part 2? I apologize for the delay. Also joining me again, hopefully you had time to catch up on last week's show. Obijah will be joining us again and sharing with us again on some topics that we touched upon last week. We'll go more in depth with that. Okay, if you were not with us last week, Obijah is 47 years old. He has three kids. He's divorced. He's from Columbus, Ohio. He identifies with Hebrew Israelite. He says he follows the Bible. And that's pretty much his introduction. And Obijah, if there's something that you would like to add for the viewer, for the listeners, you're more than welcome to do so. How are you today, Obijah? Oh, let me unmute his mic. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm all a little bit off my... normal zone. Hi, Obijah. Sorry, your phone was on mute. So, Obijah, how are you doing so far today?
Fantastic, sister. Fantastic.
Awesome. Awesome. Is there anything you'd like to add to your intro that I might have left out?
Yeah, there's a few things I'd like to, I don't know how many people are listening that was on last week or know exactly what's going on, so if I could just give a brief synopsis, on my background coming out of the world. Mind if I do that?
Absolutely. I don't mind at all.
Okay. All right. Well, a little background information. I've been into this knowledge for about six years now, coming out of the Christian congregation. And as a result, one thing I knew is that I wasn't taught the truth.
Sorry?
I wasn't taught the truth, especially about who I was. I wasn't taught the truth when I was in the Christian congregation, okay? So as a result, I've come to this truth, and I've battled scholars, learned men who have this word, and say that they, were leaders of men, and I blasted them. They can't mess with this knowledge. Once we get this knowledge, there's just no touching it because it's of the Most High. So I just want to add that for one. A little bit of my background.
Is that your phone, Obijah, with all that noise in the background? Is that your phone? Or?
I'm sorry. It could be because I am using paper. I do have a notebook with me with some things that I wrote down. So Is that what you're hearing? Is that what you're hearing?
I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, you may hear me turning pages from time to time. You are in my microphone, so I'm not sure if it's that sensitive. Is it that sensitive? Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So you can continue.
Anyway. Once you come to this knowledge, there really is no turning back once you've given the spirit of the Most High and this knowledge. And as a Hebrew Israelite, it's first about bloodline and then about culture. As far as the Hebrew is concerned, these were laws that were given to Moses, okay? So we're not going to get all into that yet. But when we start getting into arguing semantics about what the Bible was originally written in, whether it was Hebrew, Greek, we pretty much
Obijah?
Above our audience.
Obijah?
Yes.
Before you get into it, you finish with the intro? Because I want to read the seven rules, and then we can get into it and kind of follow the outline. So you want to add, so for now, just do the intro and then we can get into it.
Okay. I just end with this. Everything, because of last week's lesson, I just was trying to give a brief synopsis of what went on last week, but because of last week's lesson, I'm not going to be using scripture today. I'm just going to basically just be my beliefs, what I believe, conjecture. That's all I'm going to use today as far as conjecture, because I don't want to throw my person, and no disrespect, sister, pearls to swine. You know, if we're going to have a talk about the scriptures, we can do that. But, you know, if we're going to have a battle trying to tear each other down, then it's really no use in, you know, trying to bring scripture into it. So we'll just speak from conjecture at this point and my beliefs, okay? So that's just brief synopsis of everything. So that's fine. You can go ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of like what an interview is. So for the viewers, we're not doing a study. We are not doing a lesson.
Right.
This is just an interview to find out what is a Hebrew Israelite and what, in fact, is their belief system. So however you feel you need to get that across to us is totally up to you, because it's just an interview. All right, so before we get started, I like to read the 7 rules regarding prophecy. The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule is to do not seek for hidden meanings. Fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule is do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule is to take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number 7, let the Bible be its own interpreter. So as Abijah just said, although he will not be getting into the Bible too much today, that's totally fine. But if you, we don't know how the show is going to go, so please get out your own Bible. I'll be maybe referring to the King James Version if I need to. And you don't want to get in the habit of having people tell you what's in Scripture. So get out your own Bibles. Grab a pen and paper. You will be given the opportunity to ask questions or make comments, either add or take away what either one of us is saying. I always love when my viewers share their opinions and or share their belief system as well. It's good to, it helps me understand people a little bit better, as an FYI. So having said that, Obadiah, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Sure. Our Father in heaven, we approach you this time and ask your spirit to be upon us as we open our hearts and minds to the information. May we have a good study. May we always be mindful that any time that two or more are gathered, that Christ is right here in our midst. So we ask for your direction. We ask for peace. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so last week we already covered, I asked Abijah a couple of questions. I asked him what was a Hebrew Israelite, what does Hebrew mean, what does Israelite mean. I asked for some supporting scriptures. I asked him, did he know that there was an organization called Hebrew Israelites? I asked, was he a part of that organization, in which he denied and said no. I asked, is that organization still operating present day? Again, Abijah and his readers said they were not sure because they're not associated with that organization. I also mentioned that I heard the head, I guess, if you want to call it that, the head of the Hebrew Israelite organization was incarcerated, and supposedly he used to be a Muslim, and he, you know, got out of that and then started the Hebrew Israelite organization and all that stuff, in which Abijah and his reader didn't really know much about that and said that they are not a part of that organization. So I just wanted it to be clear with the viewers that we are not talking about the same organization that you may be familiar with if you followed along with those group of men. There's also one thing also to note is that there are a few sects also claiming the title Hebrew Israelite. We got the, there's so many letters and alphabets, I don't even get into it, but the USPK, the IC, ICU, whatever the case may be. But there's a few sects, so do not associate Obadiah with those other sects, because as he said, he's not a part of any camps or anything like that. He just, you know, identifies with himself being a Hebrew Israelite. I didn't want it to be any misunderstandings. And also when he shares, don't link all Hebrew Israelites together. There may be some that agree with Obijah and his reader that, no, God's name is Jehovah, and we do identify with Jesus Christ being his name and he being the Son of God. So we don't want anything that's discussed today. And then there are some Hebrew Israelites, because I've been in a few groups with them, that do believe every single word of the Bible and as is in the English language. They do identify with that as well. So I don't want anything Obijah says or doesn't say to be associated with anything you may or may not know about the Hebrew Israelites, because apparently there are various different ones and various different belief systems, and you know, some do, some don't. So we just want to hear what Obijah has to say about what he knows about the Hebrew Israelites and what it is that he, in fact, identifies with. This is, he is not the representative of all Hebrew Israelites, is basically what I'm saying. All right, so having said that, Obijah, I asked you also last week, what is it that the Hebrew Israelites believe? You said they believe in the law. I asked you if you believe in the Bible in its entirety, and I believe that question was a little bit unclear, because you said you did, but then, you know, I just want to give the readers a, like, little update, a little brief.
I do.
Yeah. then I asked you, what do you call God? And then you said some names that I was not familiar with, but you basically said it wasn't Jehovah. I thought I wrote those names down that you did say. I don't know where I put them. But then I asked you, do you believe Jesus is God's son? And I believe you said no, not his name is not Jesus, and you gave another name for the Son of God. So we already covered that. Then I asked you, did Hebrew Israelites practice polygamy? And the answer was unclear, but you yourself said you did not practice polygamy, however you understood that. So I wanted to elaborate a little bit more, because if you was on the viewers that was on the show last week, we got a caller who was the director of the Initiative Radio Network who had wanted us to go a little bit more in depth with the whole polygamy situation. So, Abida, are you prepared to do that today? Go a little bit in detail about polygamy and what is it that you agree with or what is it that you disagree with, and just elaborating on it a little bit more?
Sure.
Okay, awesome. Is that where you would like to pick up, or would you like to do some recap or something like that before you pick up with polygamy?
I want to do some recap on the Hebrew Israelites. Subject right now. And then we'll get into that, okay?
Gotcha.
Okay, all right. All right, so as I was saying, you know, we can argue whether the scriptures started out in Hebrew or not. But what we can't argue is history, okay? And Christopher Columbus and his writings and his book even admitted, and this is research that, you know, everyone listening can do on their own. So I'm not referring to Bible. This is just me speaking of, you know, what my knowledge, what I've comprised, okay? So, and Christopher Columbus in his book said when he got here, he spoke to indigenous people. They, in fact, spoke Hebrew. That's in his book. They spoke the Hebrew tongue. Now, what we have here is the fact that what you found last week was the verb term for Hebrew, which means to cross over. We also have a noun term of Hebrew, which is also tongue and people. Okay? So that's where the disconnect is. So what I did was I looked up a few more words that would have a verb and a noun meaning, like back. Okay? Is it my back or back up? Bear. A big bear or more than I can bear. Face. Is it my face or face the nation? Even English. Do I speak English or can I put some English on it? Now, I kind of think it's ridiculous to come to people and tell them, no, you don't speak English, because in the verb term, it means to put some English on it. It means to put something on. And I think that's what we've done here. That's what the disconnect is. It's okay that you found some information, but that's the verb term of Hebrew, which means to cross over, which has nothing to do with the tongue and the original tongue of the people and the original bloodline of a people. Okay? So that's where the whole term Hebrew Israelites come from. And that's where I spoke about when I said, do your own research, line upon line, precept upon precept. You're not going to find the term Hebrew Israelite together, you are Hebrew Israelites. You're also not going to find the term African American in the scriptures, but we know who we are per the scriptures. So that's kind of the brief synopsis I wanted to give on that real quick. Are we understood on that?
I understand what you're saying, but everything in this world that is named something, there is a root behind that name. And you actually was the one that went into the Eber story and the descendants of Abraham before they were called Eberites. So we were actually on the same agreement that it wasn't until they had crossed over that body of land that they were called Hebrews. So that's something that we were on agreement with. So I'm surprised to hear you say that now, that I was only referring to the verb. I was referring to where did these people get their name Hebrew from, and where, in fact, did it start, and why, in fact, did it start. And I wanted to dissect the name Hebrew, and that's why these people were called Hebrew. So I think we were both, including your reader, we were all in the same agreement with they were descendants of Abraham. In other words, they were Abraham's people, his father, his great-grandfather. These people had crossed over a body of land, and that's where the townsmen, if you will, had started calling them Hebrews. So it wasn't a term that God had gave them, and that's why I wanted you to know the definition of Hebrew means to cross over. So I was just trying to give you more clarity in what the name in fact means. Like, for example, my name is Shamika, but my name doesn't mean Shamika. Shamika is just my name. It means something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everyone's name means something. It doesn't mean, oh, you're a Shamika and you speak Shamika. Nah, what is the meaning of Shamika? There is a meaning behind every word that there could possibly be. In any language, there's a meaning behind that word. So I was just giving you the meaning of the word Hebrew, and it wasn't to talk about Hebrew being a verb or anything other than the meaning of that name Hebrew. It has a meaning, and it means to cross over, amongst other things. So that's all I was doing.
But don't we all recognize, that Hebrew is a language first, just like English, just like Italian, just like German. We recognize that Hebrew is a language first. I really don't understand why there was so much information, so much depth that needed to go into that term when it's right there on the surface. Hebrew.
Let me ask you a question.
First of all, before we get into all of those, it's first a language, like English. I'm sorry.
Elijah,
I'm here.
Just so you know, I am not challenging you, but I want to follow along with your dialect before you get too far in your statement, because you know what you are and you know what your belief system is. This is an interview so that I can and the listeners can understand. So when you said before there was a Hebrew that there was the language first, how can you have a language without a people to speak it? Who created
the language? That's where the Israelites come in at. That's where the Hebrew Israelites come in at, honey. That's what we've been trying to tell you. The Hebrew Israelite who spoke the language of Hebrew.
Let me back it up.
When Moses was speaking to the Israelites, he was speaking to them in the Hebrew. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to back up a little bit in what you just said. You just said before that there was Hebrews, that the language was there first. Did you not, or did I misunderstand you?
As far as I know, my research, God spoke to his people in Hebrew.
Well, you said the language was there first before the people. Did you mean to say that, or are you talking about something else?
I think I just repeated that, actually. The language was always Hebrew.
I'm not sure if that's a yes or no. Okay, let me ask the question again.
Yes, it's an emphatic
Did
yes.
you just say that before
Hebrew.
There was people called Hebrew, that first it was the language Hebrew? Did you not just say that?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So then, therefore, my question to you was, how can one have a language with no people there to speak it?
Well, once God created man, he spoke to him in the language of Hebrew.
So you said he didn't have any speak Hebrew? Abaya.
And then, I'm sorry?
So are you saying they speak Hebrew in heaven?
I've never been to heaven, honey, so I don't know what language they speak in heaven. All I know is what we spoke here on earth, how God spoke to us here on earth, what language he spoke to us per our history books, per our Bible, which was translated from Hebrew and copied into these other languages because the people would be scattered throughout the four corners. So, of course, he would want to speak
saying,
his word.
So you're saying when God spoke to Adam that he was speaking to Adam in Hebrew?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Do you want to get into polygamy now, or do you want to say what you're basing God speaking to Adam in Hebrew on?
No. The original language, as far back as we can trace our history, my sister, we spoke Hebrew. And the Most High spoke to us in Hebrew. The laws were written in Hebrew.
And when
the Dead Sea Scrolls were written in Hebrew. So, everything they found originally, I'm sorry?
And when you say we, who are you referring to? And
when
you say we, who are you referring to?
The true Hebrews, the descendants of these Hebrew Israelites, we, the descendants.
And what do you call the descendants, I'm sorry?
Hebrew Israelites, the descendants
Israelites.
Of the true
okay.
Hebrews. Yes.
Okay. All right. And so last week we touched briefly on polygamy, and that is a big subject going on in most of the Hebrew Israelite groups. Right now we have women actually agreeing with it and being very supportive of their husbands or whoever, what do they call them, sister wives. All right, so what is polygamy? For those that may not, let's just dissect polygamy from the root up. What is polygamy? I should say, what is polygamy to you or to the Hebrew Israelites?
Polygamy to me is having more than one wife.
Okay.
That's the European definition of it anyway, polygamy.
What's your definition of it?
They made it a rule. What's my definition of it?
They made it a what? I'm sorry, did you say they made it a rule?
Yeah, they made it a law, actually. A law. That's why it's called polygamy. It's a law against polygamy. So, yeah.
They made it a law?
Anyway. Well, it's against the law. Polygamy is against our laws, like, per these laws, man-made laws, right?
I'm trying to follow you. Okay, let's back it up again. Is that your phone that's low or is it my phone that's low?
I don't know. I haven't done anything different.
Okay. All right, so let's back it up again. So what is polygamy to you? And remember,
polygamy.
This is an interview. I'm not asking you
right.
what whoever else. I'm asking you, what is the difference? What is polygamy to you?
Right. I was just explaining to you how I didn't agree with the man-made rules on it. That's all I was saying. Polygamy is having more than one wife.
Okay. And then you
Multiple
said...
Wives.
Okay. And then you said they made it into a rule or a law.
Well, they made laws against polygamy.
Laws against polygamy, okay.
Yes, they made laws against polygamy.
Okay, gotcha. Just trying to follow you. Okay. And that is brewing a lot with brews. about this polygamy situation. So last week, I asked you, did you follow polygamy? And you said you personally do not follow polygamy. However, you do kind of understand it. And I'm not sure if you used the language, agree with it or not, but you did say you kind of understand it. So let's just take it one step at a time. One step at a time. So do you practice polygamy?
No.
No. Would you practice polygamy?
Yes.
Why would you practice polygamy?
Why would I practice polygamy?
without going off that exact – hold on, just so you know, mm-hmm. without going off the exact subject of the question, because I have a – I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and I'll get everything – you know, hopefully we can just answer the questions. But, yeah, so that exact question is, would you practice polygamy?
Mm-hmm.
And you said yes. And then I said,
yeah.
Why would you practice polygamy?
Because it builds better communities within the home.
Sorry?
Because it builds better communities within the home.
And what do you mean by that?
Everybody has a different role. Everyone has a different talent, so to speak, that they bring to the table. Some are good at keeping kids. Some are better cooks. Some are better in the yard. Some are better at teaching, you know. So it builds communities, and children are learning right there within the community. You don't need teachers outside of the home, especially teachers who are under 501(c) codes who are not allowed to teach certain things other than what they're given to teach. So they're learning right here within the home, especially the Bible and how the Most High put everything together. And all I can go by is the stories of the Bible. This isn't come of my own thoughts. You know, all I can come up with is what I've read in the Bible. And the best example is obviously the father and mother of the 12 tribes of Israel, who was Jacob,
who
was renamed Israel, who had four wives. Jacob, who was renamed Israel, who had four wives. Leah, Rachel, and their two handmaids.
And you said that's the best situation of polygamy you can come up with?
Well, it's one of the best. There's a few others. So, you know, obviously David had many wives, but, you know, I believe Saul had quite a few wives too. But, you know, there's quite
so
a few examples in the Bible of polygamy. But, one of the best told examples or stories of it is Jacob and his four wives.
Okay. All right. So now let's go step by step with Jacob and his four wives. Okay. So do you understand how Jacob met his two wives or met the woman that was supposed to be his only wife?
Yes, I'm very familiar how he met them.
So how did he meet her? Briefly.
How did he meet... he was told to go to his father's father's brother's house to look for a wife. He met young Rachel. He fell in love with her, but she was I can't think of his name right offhand. Anyway, he fell in love with Rachel, and he was supposed to work 7 years for her, and on the day he was supposed to give it to her, he gave her Leah, the oldest daughter, instead. And he woke up and realized it was Leah. And he obviously checked the father, and he gave him Rachel, but he had to work another 7 years for her. So that's pretty much a brief overview of it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So based on that route of how it became with him having the two wives at first, do you think that was a great start for Jacob?
I think it was a great start. I think it's a great start.
Let me back up the question a little bit. You said Jacob met Rachel, fell in love with her, worked 7 years, and then he was tricked into sleeping with Leah, or what do you call Leah, and then had to work 7 more years before he got Rachel, the one he originally wanted. So far, that's the recap. So I asked
mm-hmm.
you, do you think that was a great start?
No,
a great
it wasn't a great
route,
start.
In other words.
No.
A good route.
No. No, I agree. No.
Why not?
No, I was pretty upset. I would have been pretty upset. So, no.
Why do you think he's upset?
Well, because he didn't get what he asked for. He didn't get what he worked for.
So it wasn't what he wanted. It wasn't what he asked for. Okay.
Nope.
And do you understand... Okay, gotcha. Do you understand how it was that he got that third wife?
Yes, ma'am.
How did he get the third wife?
I'm
briefly, and I know
correctly.
I don't expect you to know the exact, but briefly, as a brief recap, because it's, you know, how did he get the third
wife?
Couldn't
get pregnant. Rachel couldn't get pregnant, and she gave her a handmaid to have a child by her. I believe that's how it went. So if she could claim a child, she gave her the handmaid's wife. So that's what happened. He bear a child with the handmaid. And Rachel, I think she had, I mean, Leah had four, I think, before she decided to give him a handmaid. You know, I don't know, you know, my imagination, but maybe she didn't want any more kids after that. I don't know. She had the girl, too, I believe Leah did. And, you know.
Well, you don't have to add,
handmaid.
Hello,
yeah.
Abijah?
Right, right. Well, I'm just
the
saying because she
I
gave her a handmaid. Right.
Well, the last thing I want you to do is to add to it. If you don't know,
well, I'm not,
or
right,
you or you
right,
don't remember
right.
the story, I'd rather you just say you didn't know than to add to what actually happened. Because it's a pretty common knowledge that the only reason why Rachel suggested to her husband, Jacob, that he have her handmaid is because now her sister had way more than what she had, which was, like you said, I don't remember the amount at that time, but already four kids in, and she has zero with her
right.
husband. So it was, okay, since I haven't, I might be barren, take my handmaid because she's mine, and then this kid will be, like, considered our kid because she's my handmaid. Do you agree or disagree?
Right.
Okay,
absolutely.
So do you
I
think
agree.
That was a... So do you think him coming upon that third wife was from a good situation?
Not necessarily from a good situation, but it all worked out the way it was supposed to.
That's not what I asked you.
Well,
remember,
I
said
mean,
we're just
no,
dealing with
no,
the root.
No.
Abijah.
I can't say.
Remember,
I'm
oh,
answering.
My God. Why are
I'm
you going to be...
I'm sorry.
Remember, I said we are only... dealing with the root. I'm trying to ask
right.
questions so we can all, not just you and I, it's not like we're having a phone discussion, this is actually a show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
right.
actually trying to dissect the root of a situation mm-hmm. before we get into what it turned into.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So back to the third one, and I'm not challenging your knowledge. I get the
I
feel like
you.
You're in a defensive, and
no,
I don't want
no,
you to
no,
be
no.
in a defensive. It's just a
no,
full
no.
understanding.
We're having a conversation. Having a conversation. Don't take anything.
That's
I get
all
passionate
it is.
Sometimes. I get passionate when it comes to these scriptures. Sometimes
me too.
I exude that. So, you know, you have to
me
excuse
too.
Me, you know, if I get it. Yes, yeah, so that's all it is.
Me too.
It's for the listener out there, I will get excited
way.
At times. But when it comes to these scriptures, I do. I will exude that at times. So it's all good. I'm human.
Way.
I'm not perfect. Let's, you know, so let's go.
Okay. I'm glad you're like that because I am also probably a little bit more passionate, if you will. Yeah, me too.
Right.
Yeah, all
so
right.
Don't take anything
so,
I say as offensive, as I'm being defensive. You know, it's just, you know, just sometimes the way it comes off my lips. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm trying not to, and that's why I just wanted to slow it down and say, look, this is not a... Let's challenge Obadiah's knowledge. How much does he know? This was, oh, by the way, since you brought up Jacob, let's dissect this situation Jacob ended up
right.
in. Okay?
Right.
Not,
all right.
What I'm trying to point out is it has nothing to do with challenging your knowledge. And that's why I stopped you to say, like, if you don't know, I'd rather you just say you don't know than to try to figure out. You know, it's not a yes or no or right or wrong. It's just let's the scriptures already
move
say
on.
What happened, so I'm just trying to recap.
Move on.
Okay. So
right.
based on how he got his third wife from Rachel, the one he loved being barren at the moment and not having a kid, to now all of a sudden my older sister's involved in the mix with being my man, and now she's got four kids on me. Oh, my God, I want something that she has as well. I want some kids. Jacob, take my handmaid. So based on how he got the third wife, do you think that was a good route?
No.
No. No. Okay. Now, how did he get his fourth wife?
That I'm not really clear on, but I think it was the same thing. I don't know. Like I said, I didn't. I'm risking getting into conjecture, so I sort of injected my own because for some reason she gave him the hand, maybe because maybe she didn't want any more kids. I'm not really sure. I don't really remember that part of the story, why she gave. Maybe you can help me with that. But it wasn't a really good situation either, obviously.
Right. I'll do the honors. Well,
yeah.
Leia said, oh, word, you want to give him your handmaid? I'm going to give him my handmaid and have even more kids.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got the two sisters in competition with
right.
each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So based on how he acquired his fourth wife, would you say that was a great route?
No.
So here this man is, from just seeing a woman that he fell in love with, ends up working for 14 years, tricked into having sex with one because she's the oldest, she's got to get married first. He agrees to it. Now he got four hubbies and all these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that was a good, and before we get into what it turned into, that's not what we're talking about. Would you say that was a good household, a happy harmony, better community type ran household? Jacob, I'm talking about.
Well, everything happened, I would say it was probably pretty bad. It was probably pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Yeah,
why do you think it was pretty bad?
Because, like you said, there was a lot of competition going on with the sisters, you know, and now, you know, Jacob's got four wives now, and, you know, it's probably a lot of bickering going on in the house. There's probably a whole lot of that going on. I can imagine having multiple wives around here and everybody jealous. So I could come up with myself and say it would be allbad.com. Yeah, I absolutely agree.
I like those wording, allbad.com.
All bad.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because, hell yeah, it was allbad.com.
Uh-huh.
We read about how bad it got.com. Poor Joseph, who was Rachel's firstborn, ended up in a freaking hole from the root of this bad.com. Favoritism came into play by this bad.com. Jealousy with the kids. Selling your brother into slavery. Your brother being enslaved and accused of rape. And all of this came from this bad.com. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Allbad.com. So, I'm going to back it up a little bit to the reason why we got into the story of Jacob being in this polygamy situation that he did not want, nor did he create. He is a man in love and loves this woman, and oh my God, what is all this other nonsense that I am under?
Right.
Just because I fell in love. I got to deal with all of this mess now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the other kids are affected. Leah's kids is usually the firstborn. Was the hello? Is that you with all that noise?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I don't know what you're hearing, but go ahead.
Leah, for example, usually the.
You still hearing something?
Yeah.
Maybe it's my microphone.
Lee,
I'm not going to
forget
my shirt.
Leah, for example. Now, everyone knows when you have the firstborn, your firstborn is special. He's like, oh, my God, firstborn baby boy. That's pride and joy right there. But did Leah's boy get that? No. Did the second one get that? No. Did the third one get that? No. So here is these boys being born in this honorary thing. Oh, firstborn boy. But because of this bad root, I can't even enjoy my firstborn boy. Because I really don't even like your mother like that. I'm not in love with this lady. So how can I enjoy these kids when I'm not even – these kids didn't come from love.
Right.
So I'm not treating my firstborn, secondborn, third born, fourth born with love because I really don't even like your mama like that. So how can I give my all in all to these boys that I should love unconditionally, but I'm having a hard time doing so because I don't even really like your mama?
Mm-hmm.
Then comes Rachel with her baby boy. Oh, my God. Here's baby boy Joseph. Beautiful. He comes from love. I can get, I'm giving this baby everything, my all in on. He is just my baby boy. Then Benjamin comes down the road. Oh, my God. I got two wonderful children by the wife I love. I don't like Leah. I don't like Rachel's handmaid, okay? That's beneath me. Now I'm sleeping with a handmaid. And now I'm sleeping with Leah, who I don't even like her handmaid. I don't like none of them three girls. But me and my wife got these two beautiful baby boys, and them I love. So my question to you is, was this behavior just exclusive to Jacob? And it's a rhetorical question, because we can all back it up to Abraham tried the same thing with Hagar and Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Same situation. It does not work with Israelites. I don't know how it worked with the Ishmaelites. I don't know how it works with the Egyptians, because apparently being faithful to your husband wasn't, you know, I don't know how it goes over on that side, but on they have demonstrated a few times, Israelite side, that we can't share no man. And if we try to share a man, it ain't going to work out.
It probably
on
won't.
The Israelite
it
side,
probably
I'm
won't
about.
Work out. I mean, you were absolutely right. It probably won't work out. But as like you said, even the sisters are coming to this understanding. You talk about a bad situation. All that really was a bad situation. But look at the situation most of our sisters are in. They're in bad situations. What do they need? Help with these kids. I know sisters who have this just them with 6 and 7 kids.
I know what they need help with.
6 kids.
I know what they need help with.
So another woman in the household would really help.
First of all, Abijah,
mm-hmm.
don't glorify promiscuity and then try to
never.
Turn it into something
never,
else.
Never, my sister. Never, never.
Which
never.
One of these sisters who are having kids with this thing? Hold on. Hold on, because that's what's going on here. Promiscuity and all of these kids, you're meeting some guys for one night, you're running off, you have an unprotected sex, and then you're getting pregnant, and then all of a sudden, then you do the next guy. So don't, let's address the promiscuity issue first before you start saying who has all these kids and they need help with all these kids. Let's not act like husbands is just dropping these kids, dropping their wife and kids. Let's not act like we talking about strangers having sex with strangers and a baby coming out of it, and they're not getting that support, and then they're going off, and it's a repeated situation repeatedly. So that's a whole nother separate subject.
I guess if you want
Let's
to look at it like
glorify.
That, some
hold
people
on,
look
hold
at
on,
it.
Hold on,
okay.
hold
okay.
on,
okay.
hold on. Let's not glorify polygamy because of promiscuity. If you want to talk
right.
about promiscuity, we
you.
Can, but it doesn't,
you know? Yeah.
Which subject you want to go to? You want to go to promiscuity or you want to go to polygamy or keep it on polygamy?
Well, I would like to think, you know, as far as the polygamy, because, again, we're talking about what I've come and the knowledge that I've come into, okay, and what
right.
we're talking about here. We're only talking about building communities from within. If sisters come into this situation already knowing the situation, like you talk about, that was a disaster situation because of how everything went down. So it was a disaster from the beginning. But we're talking about situations where sisters are coming together and saying, look, let's build a community. We're okay with this. We're not saying, I'm not sitting here saying, yeah, this is in the scriptures. We should do it because it's in the scriptures. Like you said, in the scriptures, it was a disaster situation. It always was. David, all of them tried it. They all had multiple wives, and men are going to be who their bloodline is. They're going to be what they are. You know, they don't have the same men or dogs for no reason. They don't have the same for no reason. So it's going to happen. So if it's going to happen, we might as well be a community. We might as well be a community.
Huh?
We can't change it. We can't change
it.
It's an option.
Me.
It's an option.
What? What
Again,
is?
Again, speaking from my perspective, it's an option. Sisters are coming to that knowledge. It's not just me. These are sisters talking about this. This ain't just me.
Yeah, which ones? The promiscuity that has all these kids by different men.
No.
Not in a good I want to go back to polygamy, because polygamy
mm-hmm.
and promiscuity is two different things. Polygamy is supposed to be married. And
right,
then
these are all your wives.
Having
yes. These are all your wives.
And then these is your wives, and then you are having children with these hussies. Now, you talk about baby mamas and all that baby mama drama, and them two
mm-hmm.
and three and four trying to come up under the same roof after living a promiscuity life, that this is the result, there's a root behind that, which is all the illegitimate kids. So
mm-hmm.
It's separate subjects. It's separate subjects. It is separate. I want to know which one of these women are married. Which dudes is marrying these women? Because everybody claimed that they're practicing polygamy. None of them are married. They're saying they're married because they, oh, well, we don't need this. We don't need a certificate. We married. They just like saying it and dressing in costumes.
Right.
But they not, ain't nobody walked down the aisle. Ain't nobody have no certificate.
Because, sister, because this is why. This is why, per the scriptures, and like I said, these are people who have to do their own research. I put this out here to do your own research on the scriptures. Per the scriptures, you don't need a certificate from these men out here in this world. What the Most High put together, He put together. So a man and woman come together under the Most High, and they consummate because the marriage is in the seed. Everything else is an outward display. If you want to have a ceremony, say, so you got married, you know, you can do that. But you don't need a white man to give you some papers and say y'all married. You don't need a reverend to tell you y'all married. The marriage is in the seed, in the consummation. So the marriage has already happened. So once you consummate, that's the marriage, and then you write down a written agreement between you, her, and the Most High. That's between y'all. That's how you put the Most High in it. That's the best way I can describe it. And it will become your wives. Through written certificates, signatures, and you and the Most High, and consummation.
Okay,
that's
let me ask you this. Okay, thank you for that breakdown. Can I ask you this?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of a written law of divorcement in the scriptures?
Yes.
Why would there be a such thing as written law in the scriptures if there was no such thing as marriage certificate in the scriptures?
If there was no such thing as what?
I said, why would there be a such thing as a written law of divorcement in the scriptures if there was no such thing as a marriage certificate in the scriptures?
I just told you it was a marriage certificate.
That's not what
you
I asked
the Most High.
Okay, let's back it up. You just said something about, what did you say about marriage and all this other stuff?
I said a certificate, write you a certificate, you two become to an agreement, write a certificate between you and the Most High. It's a certificate between yourselves. It's a written certificate between yourselves. You don't need
do
to go to
you,
the world
okay.
to pay for a certificate
okay.
is what I was saying.
Okay. Let me back it up.
Yes.
You're saying you need a marriage certificate to be considered married, or you don't?
You do.
Okay, because I thought you said just now you didn't and that wasn't in the Bible. That's not what you just said?
Okay. That's not what I said. What I said was you don't need the world, these worldly certificates out here when you can write your own agreement between yourself.
Well, I wasn't speaking about worldly certificates.
And consummate. I'm sorry?
I wasn't speaking about the worldly certificates. I was speaking about the people that don't get certificates and just start dressing in a certain form or put a red dot on their head and say they're married.
Right, because they have a certificate between themselves and the Most High that they signed. What I'm trying to tell you is you don't need to go to the institutions in the world, like to go buy a marriage certificate downtown at the city building or whatever to get married when the marriage is in the consummation.
All right, so you do agree with me that there is a such thing as a marriage certificate, because then there would not be
yes.
a such thing as a written
Absolutely.
Law of divorcement. Okay, good.
Absolutely.
We're on the same page with that. Okay, so now back to what I was saying. most people that supposedly practice polygamy, usually only one of them hussies got a certificate, and that's the first one. Am I right or wrong?
I don't know, sister. I haven't encountered any of these situations. I know one sister that said she was into it, she was trying it or something, but I haven't spoken to that sister to see how it was going. So I can't speak for someone who was doing it. You know, I see something that work, like with that brother Polite, him and his wives, it seemed to be working for them. They seemed to like, until his money fell apart.
You know what I noticed with those situations? Not for nothing.
But, you know.
But please don't, for the viewers that may be on the phone that's practicing, please don't take this the wrong way. But you know what I've noticed with people that practice polygamy?
What's that?
They're usually, and again, I'm just talking about what I've noticed, they're usually very mm-hmm. unattractive people, and they're people that are not satisfied with what they have, because either one's attractive and one's not, they got married, mm-hmm. and, you know, some time has lapsed, and somebody wants to step out, so they get this half woman that should be just lucky to even have a man to agree mm-hmm. to have a couple of other sister wives, as they call them, to link up. And they share the man. And what I've noticed is I've yet to see and like I said, maybe I live in a box, so maybe it's just me. And I'm asking you, have you noticed it? What I've noticed is it's usually unattractive people. So so my question to you is, do you think this is unattractive people practice?
That's funny. I mean, that would be a matter of opinion, my sister. You know, I can't really.
Same thing with
that
swingers. Hold on. Now let me add in swingers. Same thing with swingers. You ever see two attractive people swinging? I'm asking, have you ever?
Yeah, I have.
Have
I
you
do
ever
know
seen
that. I do know
two attractive
swingers
people
attractive.
Swinging?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I know some attractive people swingers. Yes, I do know them. That happens.
Do you know any attractive people?
Like that.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry?
Do you know any attractive people that practice polygamy?
I don't know anybody who's practicing it.
Oh,
personally.
Okay. But so back to you now, because you said you would. So, hypothetically,
in the right,
because you
situation,
know good and well.
In the right situation,
hello.
I would. Yes.
Okay. Hypothetically speaking, and it's just hypothetical, because ain't no mm-hmm. way. Shape or form, you would be my man, but I'm just wanted to. So hypothetically, so hypothetically speaking, if you and I was to get married and be all wrapped mm-hmm. up and engulfed in each other, would you come to me? And I know you've never met me, and probably even. We never even had a discussion about anything really on that personal level besides just maybe going to a show. But I'm saying me and you kicking it and doing the damn thing. We are married. Would you come to me and say to me, look, I think we need to get another hubby up in here and help you out with the, you know, with the food, with the cooking and the cleaning and helping out with these kids. Would you come to me and say that?
No, I wouldn't come to you and say that.
Why not
say that? But I guess what I would pose a scenario to you. What if you and I got together and we were really in love and we wanted children, and for some reason you were barren and couldn't have kids, but you knew I really wanted kids. You couldn't have one. Now, would you give me another woman to have a kid? Because even a Sarah, if she bears your seed, becomes your wife.
Hell no! I would go to the
most. It would be fair to the husband. It would be fair to
because it. Well, can I answer the question?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Since it is not man and woman that determine childbirth, it is actually the Creator or the devil. I would go to God and say, God, is there any reason why you have closed up my womb? Reveal the reason why, and it's usually because it's something that needs to be cleared up with me first. Because God is not going to mm-hmm. allow us to bring a soul in this world to destroy that soul. And I would wait for his answer. And if whether he answered me right away or if I did not get an answer, No, would I pull a Sarah? Nah, that's why that story's in the Bible, so that women that do not get children from the from God up front or right away or when they want to in their own timing, so that they don't take it upon themselves to try to determine their future. Maybe God has,
right.
maybe he wants us to travel the world and do missionary work mm-hmm. where a child would be burdensome to us. So I would look at the benefits in not having a kid. Or maybe he just wants us to be happy in love with no restraints. You know, kids is, let's not face, kids is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Kids is a lot of work. So I would not, no, I wouldn't, hell no, no. We couldn't have kids if you
but
wanted to have
scenario,
kids so bad.
Hell,
this is what I would say
that,
to you. Hello. This
yeah.
is what I would say to you. If you wanted kids that damn bad, I would say, listen, we ain't have no kids yet. If you can stay in a situation as is, stay. If it means that much to you, then be out. Get a divorce. Then be out is what I would say. Ain't no way, shape, or form would I tell you to go ahead and have a kid with somebody else and let's claim it as ours or let's get a surrogate. No, I would not do that because that's not my kid. It's not my kid.
You wouldn't, but there's some women that would.
I understand
and that's the point.
I understand that.
And that's the point. There's some women out there that want help with their kids. There's some women out there that would absolutely welcome that. So, you know, it's a matter of arguing semantics. It's a matter of arguing your feelings versus theirs. And I can appreciate your sister. I can never invalidate your feelings on that subject. So it would be definitely something that would have to be discussed between who you and whoever you choose. And that's the point that I like to emphasize with this whole polygamy thing. It's going to be something that you and that partner that you get with will, whether or not she will put up with that or not. I know going in with you, you're not going to put up with it. It's not happening. So I'm never going to bring that up to you. If I marry you, I'm saying to you that I choose you and no one else. But if I get into a situation with you and I say, how do you feel about polygamy? And you say, well, I'm down to try it. And we get married. You can't get mad when we're down to try it. I wouldn't bring it to you after we've gotten married. That's just wrong. So there's rules to this thing. There's regulations, obviously, to everything. It's taking nothing out of context.
I guess. Well, what I've noticed, being in these Hebrew Israelite groups and such, if I had a nickel, for every man that went in my inbox and asking me, do I want to be his third and fourth and fifth wife? Because why? They see a woman that they are attracted to, and they know the woman that they have is just so happy to have a man that they can present me to them, and they'll be okay with that. It's one of those things where, well, if she ain't okay with it, then she got to go. Do you agree that that's the mentality with some of these men?
I can't put anything past anybody, my sister. Like I said, like I alluded to last week, and I will say this again. A lot of Hebrew Israelites, just because they use the term Hebrew Israelites, doesn't mean they're in the faith. It just means they know who they are.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean they're practicing the faith, practicing the scriptures the way it's supposed to. There's a lot of brothers that read something, and they just start running with doctrine. They say they think
right.
they found something, and then they, you know, they run off with, like, that white man is Esau. Esau is not the white man doctrine. That's, you know, some things are just ridiculous. You know, you just ran with it.
First of all, Esau is not the white man, but that's another subject we can discuss at a later date.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
In order to
I'm
say
saying,
that, you telling
so much
me,
doctrine
you're telling me,
there.
That because in order to say that, that means you're telling me that two black people had one black baby and one white baby, and they didn't want to go to.
I thought you were on my side on that. We had a conversation once before about that.
Nah.
But we're not going to get into
that
right
now. No, we did
not. Anyway, I
you
get
ain't
what
never
I mean.
Hear me say that. Hello. You get
okay,
me
okay.
confused. You ain't never
okay.
heard me.
Okay.
I've posted plenty of times about him not being that. And I still
right.
stay true to what I said, that he is not. And I know that's for a fact. But
he's not what?
So back to that he is
he's
not
what? Say it. Right.
Esau is not the white. Oh, I thought you said the opposite.
No, never mind.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
No.
I'm sorry. I thought you said
no,
he was.
No.
I'm sorry. My bad.
We had a disconnect. I thought that's what you meant when you said, no, we do believe opposite on that, sister. We do believe opposite on that. I see where you're at on that.
Is he to you or he's not?
Esau is the white man. Esau
okay,
is
yeah,
the white
we
man.
Are in dis- okay, yeah, we are in disagreement with that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
yes.
who we differ. Okay, so okay, so you so you would you so all in all, okay, now take me out of it. So all in all, you would be open to practicing polygamy if your wife was to present it to you and say, listen, I'm having a hard time working and taking care of these kids and, you know, cooking and doing all and trying to meet your needs and meet the household needs. I think we need to get a sister wife in here and help us out. You would say, okay, honey, and divide up the time with you.
I would absolutely be down for that, yes.
Okay.
I'm not either way.
Of course you would.
I'm
I mean, you're benefiting. Of course
you would. I'm not either way. You
know,
if she is, well, you know.
Now, let me ask you this. I heard there's something called, and I don't know how to say it, but I heard there was the, in the reverse with the woman, there's a woman that can practice, what is it called, polygamy or something like that? or polygamy, where it's the woman with multiple husbands. Are you familiar with that term?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, apparently there is polygyny or something like that. It's a very similar word, but it means the woman has more than one husband. So if your wife was to come to you and say, listen, honey, I need a little something more, you know? I need a little something more. And would you be open to that?
No.
Why not?
Because I feel like all is fair in love and war. If she came to me and told me that she didn't like that and I held to that, you know, as opposed to her coming to me and saying she wouldn't mind that, now I would feel like I would need the same, you know, respect. Come to me and tell me that you, before we get married, that you want more than one man because I'm not marrying you.
Nah, let's say
want.
She was cool up until a few years had passed and she's like,
it don't even matter.
Man.
Don't even matter. It's not happening. I'm just sharing mine. That's never happening.
You're not sharing yours.
That's never happening. Not sharing mine. No. As long as it's stingy.
You're not sharing yours.
Didn't change.
You're not sharing yours.
That's right. I always been stingy.
Okay. So now let me ask you another question.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you are in a polygamy situation where you got about two other hussies. Let's say you got three hussies total. And one of the hubby's kids, you would say she wants another man to join in on that. How about that?
Not happening. She'd be breaking covenant. She'll be breaking covenant.
What covenant is that?
The covenant that we signed between us. We got to remember, these wives would have to become wives only after we signed the covenant.
So if one of
between
the wives
us,
came to you.
Those in the Most High.
So if one of the wives came to you. Right before that covenant was signed and said, hey, listen, since we're about to join in this nice union where you and us three, can we add in another man? Right before you were signing that. Yes or no?
No. That would be gay. That would be me signing to a gay situation.
I didn't know. First of all, I did not say you taking part in that and y'all having a big orgy. I said where he would act just like you, like he'll be another husband to y'all just making y'all rounds.
No.
Okay, so it would be so. In other words, it's okay for the woman to agree to share the man, but you are not willing to share the woman.
Absolutely.
Okay, I see. You think that's a bit selfish on your part?
It might be. And.
Okay.
And then I can do about that.
And then you do about that. Okay. Just asking. Just a question.
No.
Just trying to
it's all fair. Now, you said, you asked a question about her. You said you asked if she came to me and asked. Now, it would be different if I came to her and said, honey, I can't handle all y'all. I need to get another nigga up in here. But see, that's not happening. That's the comparison right there. Her coming to me, asking me if it's another man, I mean, she just gonna be with that other man. She's not gonna be with me no more.
But you're not gonna share
her. No, I'm not sharing her. No, she can go on with him.
But they can share.
They can share if they want to. But I mean, you know, my wives, if they agree to be with me, have agreed to be with me. We signed the covenant, so I can't. you can't sign the covenant and say you agree to be with me only, and under this covenant, but under this household, and then break it with some other dude. You know, that's what's called adultery. So I can't allow that.
Is that right?
That's what's called adultery, yes.
Let me ask you something. Do you have your sword in front of you?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you go to Deuteronomy chapter 17?
I certainly can. Deuteronomy 17?
Can you do me a small favor? When Brandy comes in, can you tell I'll be right up? I'm going to go back downstairs. Thank you. I'm sorry. Did you get there yet?
Deuteronomy 17? I'm waiting.
Yeah, can you read verse? Can you read verse 17? Yes.
Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart not turn not away. Neither shall he get greatly multiply to himself silver and gold.
What does that mean to you?
That means he's not supposed to multiply his wives.
He's not supposed to multiply.
I can't go by any. I can't go contrary to what the scriptures say. There's no other way to interpret that.
So, having read that, have you ever read that before?
Yes, I've read it.
Did you understand it the same way as you did just now?
I certainly did.
So, having read that, do you still feel it is okay for a Hebrew Israelite to practice polygamy?
Yes.
Why do you say that after just reading that?
Because you have to really read
and as you said, it can't be taken any other way but what it says.
Right.
So having said that, you still say it's okay to practice polygamy?
Well, see, what you have to understand is this in context, what this was talking about. You have to read the whole thing. As it started with 17, what led up to this, and this was really to the judges and officers. You know, so he was talking to them and why he told them not to. This is a certain group of people he was talking to. This wasn't just everybody. So that's why, you know, but we'd have to get into all that.
Who was talking to who?
The Most High was talking in this scripture, and during Deuteronomy 17, it was a certain group of people he was talking about. This wasn't for all the Israelites. He was talking to, if you read the whole thing, he was talking to the judges and officers.
So that language is just for judges and officers of not multiplying
their
wives?
Like,
is that what you're saying?
It's like when he was speaking. It's almost like when he was speaking to the tribe of Levi. There were certain things the tribe of Levi couldn't do, but everybody else could. You know what I'm saying? They were only ones allowed in the temples. And it was sort of one of those things. He was talking to a certain group of people. That wasn't for everyone, all the Israelites. You would have to read that whole in this context, my sister. So I understand why you got that, and I understand the whole logic behind it. You know, I'm not disputing what you came up with because, you know, like I said, we can't take anything out of context. It is what it is. It says what it says. But what we want to do is read the entire thing, though, in context, so we get the context of who he was talking to. So, again, I don't want to invalidate anything you found. You know, I want to do my further research on it. I'm really glad you highlighted that. I'm really glad you know, because it tells me that you're doing your research. And that's admirable.
Okay. So while you still have your sword in your hand, and I believe you read this last week, can you go again to Isaiah chapter 4?
Mm-hmm.
And can you read verses 1 to 4?
Yes. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel, only let us to be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful. I'm sorry?
Yeah, and that's the language I was actually looking for. And last week,
mm-hmm.
I asked you, did you think reproach was a positive word? And you said, no, it was actually a negative word, which I was in agreement with you with. So, in Isaiah, was Isaiah would you say judges and lawyers? What would you say in Deuteronomy? Who do you say he was talking to?
No, Isaiah is actually, he was from Judah. He's from a lot of Judah. He wasn't. So, yes. He wasn't one of the judges.
So why would that language, therefore, be fitting in Isaiah?
Why would it be fitting in Isaiah?
Yeah, because you said according to Deuteronomy 17:17 that that wasn't for the whole tribe, that was just for the judges and stuff like that.
Yeah, he was speaking to the judges, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then when
Isaiah
you read it.
Isaiah is not a judge.
I know that.
He's not a judge. Okay. So that's why.
That's why I'm asking
that's
you.
Why it's different. Right. I'm sorry, repeat the question. So maybe I'm misunderstanding. You got misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Got,
all right, after that noise quiets down, then I'll read it. Okay.
Okay.
So, as you just said, Isaiah wasn't a judge, but here we have language and seven women taking on one man to remove their reproach. So it's being taken as a negative thing to share a man. Do you agree with that or you disagree with that?
No, I disagree with that.
Well, what does reproach mean to you?
It's taking away the reproach. The reproach is a bad thing, but it's taking away the reproach.
But it's saying that these women were facing reproach, being reproached.
No, we can't add to these scriptures, my sister. Let's read it. Let's read it. Let's can't add to what we think it says.
Well, if it says that they would do this to take, hold on. If it says that this is what they're going to be doing to take away their reproach, then obviously they was facing it. Because you can't take away something that's not there.
Right. Right. So it's taking away the reproach.
Right. So that means reproach was there already. Because
yeah,
in order to take away something, it has to be there.
So what was the reproach?
Not having no men look like. Not having men to go around look like.
Okay. So there it is, sister. We're saying the same thing.
No, we're not. I asked you, did you feel like it was according to Scripture and according to your belief system, do you think it was okay? And you've read it in Deuteronomy 17:17, where it says, do not multiply your wives. You said that was only talking to judges and stuff like that. And then you went to Isaiah 4:1-4, and you said, no, Isaiah was not a judge. And I said, okay, so then here's that language again about polygamy, a polygamy situation not being good. It's not a good situation. If you're practicing polygamy to take away your reproach, that means you are – well, let's read the language leading up to that. Maybe that's where the disconnect is. Let's read the language up to Isaiah chapter 4. Let's back it up. Let's go to Isaiah 3. I believe it starts 3:16, but let me open my sword so we're on the same accord. Okay, so Isaiah chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 16. I'll read this, and you got your sword so you can follow along.
Yes, ma'am.
Moreover, the Lord saith, this is the Lord speaking here,
mm-hmm.
because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking mincing as they go and making a tingling with their feet, therefore the Lord will smite with the scab of the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. And then here's that language. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. So I'm saying to you, here is a curse that's come upon these types of women. And he describes the woman, haughty, stretched forth neck, wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tingling with their feet, you know?
Arrogant woman.
Those women. Excuse me?
An arrogant woman, yes.
Right, arrogant women, okay? And then they're going to be cursed because all this stuff that it's describing, in other words, they're going to be broke, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they men
mm-hmm.
going to be dying or not around, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That means broken households. And then those women are going to say, well, then let's share man. Seven of us could share a man to take away this curse that has come upon us, in other words. Do you agree or disagree?
I absolutely agree.
So why do you feel that it's okay to live the same way as cursed people live?
Again, sister, like I said, my understanding as far as communities are built. If a sister is willing, if she's willing, because I don't think, I can't say because I don't know, but I don't remember hearing any David having these problems. You know, I remember Saul having these problems. There's a lot of kings who had lots of wives and concubines. We don't read about all of them having these problems. So we can't say that every last one of them, we read about some that had problems. We can't say every last one of them had problems. We don't know that for sure. So this is just coming from me, not all Hebrew Israelites. Just because I believe a certain way, this is my male instinct kicking in, you know. So what's here is here. We're talking about people building communities, women who are coming to an understanding that reads like this, like there's going to be a shortage of men, because of everything that went down, our stupidity, our curses, brought the curse on our own selves. And so there will be women that will be willing to be seven women to one man. We see it happening right now. You hear, you said it yourself. You talk to sisters who are talking about this thing. They're talking about it. So that's all I can get.
So why is that?
Conclusions I can come to.
So why should blessed people why should they live and practice the same thing as cursed people is what I'm asking you.
It wouldn't make sense to me.
It wouldn't make
sense
to you.
No?
Right. So mm-hmm. do you still feel that it's okay and it's a great thing to practice polygamy?
Again, like I said, sister, we don't know that all of them in the scriptures failed. The only reason why, I'm going to tell you this.
Well, we're not talking about all of them.
Failed,
we're talking about,
right.
No, the Bible is a big book, and we're not talking about everybody at all at this moment. Right now, we're just going with the Word of God, because then there could be various people, especially when you read, not you, but whoever, when they're reading Scripture, it's very important to note who's talking and who they're talking to. Because if you go to certain parts in that Bible, if the wrong person is talking, you could think something is the Word of God when it's actually not. Just because it's in the Bible does not mean it is the Word of God. The first chapters in Job, God does not start speaking, and He speaks in the beginning, and then He speaks in the end. So the rest of the middle of Job is Job and his homeboys kicking back and forth from what they think is happening. So if someone picked up the Bible and just jumped into the middle of Job, they would think that's the Word of God when in fact it was not, okay? Because God doesn't come in until the end, and He tells Job, sit up on your bed and let me ask you a few questions, and let me do the talking. So it is very, very important to know who's speaking when reading Scriptures. So that's why I liked Isaiah. And we're not talking about David and Solomon and Lamech and all these other people. And if you want to be real about who was the first one that practiced polygamy, it was actually Lamech, who was the son of Cain. So that already lets you know right then and there something's wrong with it. But that's, you know, if you want to talk about it, we can talk about it. But I'm just talking about here, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16 starts off with, moreover, the Lord saith. So that should eliminate David, Solomon, Moses, this one, that one, because the Lord saith. That's why I like
I'll
the
this
Isaiah.
Sister.
It
I'll
lets you know
for...
right away who is speaking here and what he's saying.
I'll say this for you, if I may. There was a reason why, and I'm going to get into Solomon. There was a reason why he talked about Solomon, not to multiply wives of himself, you know, because he was looking outside, otherwise outside of just 12 tribes. And so he fell by the wayside and sinned as a result. So there is a very downside of multiplying wives. I see your point clearly. And we've looked at all of it. We've looked at all of it. Your point is very clearly made. I can't dispute what the Scriptures say. There's no way I'm going to try to dispute what the Scriptures are clearly telling me. I'm not that dude. Obviously, these were bad situations that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But if we want to look at it in context, though, it was a bad situation that ended up, in the end, with the 12 tribes of Israel blessed. So one thing
is
I know
that
about
how
the
they
Most
ended
High
up?
Is
excuse me.
Well, the thing
me.
I know about the Most High is you can take all
excuse
the detours
me.
You want.
Excuse
I'm
me.
Sorry.
Did you just say they ended up blessed?
Yes, absolutely ended up blessed.
What Israelites you talking about?
The 12 tribes of Israel, they're God's people. The chosen seed came through those lines. So I would think, yes, it was a lot of blessing that came out of Joseph became the king of Egypt, and he blessed his brothers, and we multiplied greatly after that. He even gave his brothers after that. They survived the famine because of that, everything that went down. See, the Most High, if you fall off the path and you take a detour, he knows. I mean, if you fall off the path, he knows the detour.
Sweetie.
Yes.
Have you read the Bible?
No.
I don't think
you
have.
Yes, of course I read the Bible. What do you mean? Why would you ask me that, my sister?
Because this behavior with these said 12 tribes continued on and on. They were worshiping idols and doing all this craziness. And it was just Joseph and even some of his descendants who was falling by the wayside. It was just got so bad that God even, they died in the wilderness, and he kept starting again with a new head and then killed them off, and they started, they ended up in captivity, and they came back out and ended up. Which tribes are you talking about that was blessed? This same bad seed from Jacob's era was a continuous pollution with the seed and them choosing to serve and worship idols.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a few selected Israelites that had branched off and said, you know what? I'm going to find favor in the sight of the Lord. And then I'm going to teach my son, and I'm going to teach my grandson, and I'm going to carry on this legacy. And then before that next few generations down, it got polluted again from this bad root that Jacob started. So that's why I asked you, have you ever read the Bible? It didn't end well for what the decisions Jacob made. It did not end well. It still hasn't. We're still the descendants. It still hasn't ended. We still worship idols. We don't have the golden calves and statues. Well, some of us do, but we don't have. We have alcohol. We all having sex unmarried and we have other idols that they did not have then. But we still have not got this thing together. Still, none of us.
So we're still cursed.
I'm not going to say we're cursed. That's what the cross came to break, that curse. We're not still cursed. But I didn't want you to say, well, a great thing came out of this bad situation that Jacob was in. No, 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 sir. No, no. It carried on. It's still going on to this day. Nah, Jesus came and broke the curse, boo-boo. But no great situation came out of Jacob. And that decision he made, Joseph, yeah, because why? That child was from love. That was from the original woman that he wanted, Rachel. God joined together, no man could put asunder. That was from that seed of Rachel. Okay? Rachel.
And with the promise, he was going to come through Judah.
But,
through
sorry?
Leah. But the promise,
sorry?
He came through Leah. The promise,
well,
seed
what
came
happened,
through Leah.
Well, I understand that. I understand that. I was just letting you know how all that branching off happened. It wasn't, okay, well, then I blessed the 12 tribes and they lived happily ever after. They even was at war with each other at one point, fighting against each other. Some of them had even hooked up with Saul when Saul was on chasing David. Some of them jumped on Saul's bandwagon. We took them out of a destructive situation from these kids.
When I say
kids.
We're blessed, though, sister. I know, but when I say we're
sorry?
Blessed, though, sister, I mean we're blessed. When I say blessed, I mean blessed as far as we multiply, for one, like he told us he would bless that seed. Not only blessed, we're cursed right now because of, like you said, all the things that we did, all the worshiping of other gods that we did. But we're blessed.
I'm not sure who's
the
cursed.
Seed because Christ came through that seed. That's number one, why we are blessed. Blessed because we have the most talent on this earth. We are the salt of this earth. We are the blessing of this earth. And we're blessed because we have the Most High's blessing. He blessed Jacob's seed forever. We're under a curse because of the things that we did. But trust and believe, we were blessed. We are
I think
blessed.
What you, I think, I believe what you're doing is trying to link everything in one box, and that's where we differ. Because I don't think you realize the captivity and all that other stuff and all the deaths that took place. What you're not realizing, or maybe just not saying it, is that there were certain men that had found favor in the sight of the Lord, and God did a new thing with them, and then started a little following, and they began to, like, there's language in the Bible, and then they began to follow the Lord, and then they got on track, but then down the road, they got back into the idols, and then again, so I think you're confusing and linking the whole 12 tribes with a few selected men that found favor in the sight of the Lord, and then God would do a work and start something brand new and start a blessing with them. That's why Jesus ended up coming from the tribe of Judah, from those selected men, David and Solomon, from those selected few men that had found favor in the sight of the Lord. But we cannot link all the Israelites and all the 12 tribes and say, oh, well, even though Jacob did this, you know, they were, we ended up blessed. Nah, it was a very bad situation. It was a very bad situation. And it was just a few, selected few mighty men of God that did not yield and jump on that bandwagon. And then God was, again, they had found favor in the sight of the Lord. And God blessed them, but don't link that with the whole tribes being blessed. That is not what happened. That is totally not what happened.
Where I'm coming from, sisters, anytime you are chosen, if you're God's chosen people, if you're the apple of God's eye, that's always a blessing. That's always
well, God chose Saul.
That's why Christ came.
How did
on
that
the
work
scene
out for Saul? Well,
it
Reginald,
didn't work out for Saul because
true.
He rejected Saul.
Exactly.
He ended up rejecting Saul. He didn't reject
Brethren.
Israel.
Brethren, many
yes.
are called, few are chosen. And it is a how we participate and respond to the call. So, again, let's not link the 12 tribes in that box because they have definitely stepped out of that box. They a few
right.
of them and a few
why.
Tribes to the point where we were fighting each other at one point. Still
right.
is.
But that's why
and if you want to track it down,
15:24.
If you want to, hello, if you want to track it down to modern day with the slavery in this country, who did that come from? Our own brethren selling us into slavery and bringing us over here on ships and stuff. That came from our own people doing that. So that's just that same
I disagree with that.
Bad seed
disagree with
trickled
that.
All the way down to present day. So we have
I
to remember that.
That. I
you said you
with
disagree?
That. I
well, if you don't
disagree
know your history,
that.
That's your business.
I do
this
know
not
my
a history.
Lesson. That's why I disagree with that.
What part of it do you disagree with?
Well, first of all, I want to focus on Christ, what you said, because, what you said is absolutely right. You know, but what we have to remember, too, is like what Matthew 15:24 talked about, is he came looking for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So, you know, we were always intended to be the apple of the Most High's eye. That's who Christ came to redeem. He told that Canaanite woman, this ain't for you. This is for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm looking for my people, for God's people. So we were always blessed. So that's how I keep looking at the 12 tribes of Israel. We were always blessed, my sister. You know, I guess, you know, you can see it one way, I can see it the other. You know, I see it your way, too. I see it your way, too. But I choose to see the glass as half full on that. Okay? Now, as far as
what's the last part of what you just said?
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. As far as our people being taken in captivity, what was you about to say?
Yes. My research tells me that it was the Hamites that helped take us into captivity. It were black people, but it was definitely were not the Israelite people taking us into captivity. It was them taking us into captivity because they knew who we were because of our practices. We were Shemitic. They were Hamitic. Those were Hamites taking us into captivity. They come over here now even admitting that it was their ancestors that did that to us. They're Hamitic, not Shemitic.
So
you're talking about
so
doing
you're
your own
saying...
history, doing your research. I've researched it, my sister. So, you know, anything that comes out of my, I'm not going to speak that boldly on something I haven't researched. So
okay.
Those are the children of Ham that were selling us, not us.
And that's what I mean about linking everything in one box. Yes, I do agree with the Hamites. I also agree with the Egyptians and all that. Yeah, there was always war amongst the people. I'm not discussing that. I'm talking about when the Israelites became in war with each other is what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah, they were always at war with each other. They did do that a lot. That's probably why, well, I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, they were at war a lot with each other and still is. That's why they were split. One reason why they were split, because one decided to stay with the Most High, which is why he kept Judah. And the northern kingdoms became Gentiles. But we'll get into all that later because they're unbelief of heart. So, you know, you're absolutely right on that. Absolutely. It was always
yes.
for Israel to return, to turn to the Most High. It was always for them to return. And that's why Christ came, to die to for Israel's sin, pay for Israel's
right.
sin.
Okay, good. Now back to Hebrew Israelites. We have about 20 minutes, and I don't think I would be available for overtime tonight because I have some things to do, and we have to go back to evening service, which starts at 6, so I'll have to leave at 5:30, so I would have to end the show on time today, and I do apologize, because last week we got that hour overtime, and we were able to end
we were
at 6,
last
which is awesome. Yeah, which was awesome. So what I want to bring you back to is Deuteronomy chapter 28. In all the Hebrew Israelite groups I've been in, they always keep resorting back to us being under this curse in Deuteronomy chapter 8:28 for our disobedience.
Yes.
Now, obviously, Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a very long chapter. It is actually 68 verses, so we don't have time to cover all the curses. But what I would ask you is, do you still feel present day? Because I hear a lot of the Hebrew Israelites, they even post about it almost daily. We're still under the curse of Deuteronomy 28. We're still under the curse. Do you feel we are still under, excuse me, y'all are still under the curse in Deuteronomy 28?
In context, my sister, yes.
And why do you feel that way?
In context, because, you know, we're the curse say that we would be in the land of our enemies. So because we're in the land of our enemies, we're still in, we're not back on our soil. Until we're back on our soil, we're going to remain a cursed people, because look what's happening to us over here. That's the curse. All this white men shooting us and, you know, unarmed black men all over the place, that's part of the curse. Everything that the scriptures talk about that said it would happen to us, we would be killed and no one would buy us, and everything the scriptures say is part of the curse, and it's happening to us. So there's no way that we can't say that we're part of the curse if all these curses are still happening to us.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Are we stuck here?
I can't say we're stuck here, my sister. I can't say we're stuck
so
here.
So if one chooses to stay, or if one chooses to go, why would the ones that choose to stay feel cursed when they're not stuck? That's just a decision that they're making to just stay.
Well, I mean,
we're all
I can move to Europe right now, but I would still be a black African-American over there in Europe. Still treated just the same as I would be treated over here, with prejudice, with hate, disdain, and reproach. It wouldn't change for me, no matter where I'm
at. Well, are you confusing the curse in Deuteronomy chapter 28 with man-made persecution and prejudiceness and racism?
We'd be in the land of our enemies. So I think it all fits right under that category.
So why did you say Europe for?
Because you said, are we stuck here? Yes, if I was stuck here, so if I left, it was what I was saying. I guess if I left this country and went somewhere else, I would still be a nigger, I guess is what I was trying to tell you.
All right, well, now let's talk about going to our native land. Are you free to go there, or you can't go there?
Our native land right now, that's going to take probably a lot more than 15 minutes. But we should not return to that land yet.
Well, I didn't ask you that. I'm still trying to get the question answered. Do you feel like most Hebrew Israelites feel that they are still under the curse of Deuteronomy chapter 28?
Mm-hmm. Explain that.
Explain what?
So I thought that was an emphatic yes. I explained that, so I thought that was an emphatic yes. So I thought I answered that.
Well, then I asked you, why did you feel that way, and you kept talking about, well, because we're still here under this place and what these men are doing to us. And I said, okay, and that's why I asked you, were we stuck here? And you said no. I mean, it's clear we can go anywhere we want to go. You even said you can go to Europe. So having the freedom to do so but still making a decision to stay here, do you still feel like we're under a curse?
So as long as we fit the curses being laid out in the scriptures, where it talks about how we would be killed and no one would pay for it. I forget exactly how that scripture is said, but basically that's the gist of the scripture, that we would be killed and they would go scot-free. We see that happening to our people right here. We would be sold as bondmen. We know that those are our people. So we can't get, just because I can leave doesn't mean somebody else can. It does. It's still not going to change the condition of the people here in this country. Just because I can leave doesn't change the condition of the rest of these people here in this country. They can't leave, who fit the description of these scriptures. The people that they would absolutely hate and turn on.
Can you hold on a second, please? I'm kidding. Can you hold on a second?
Sure.
You know what? Matter of fact, I'm going to have to end the show right now. Can I,
okay.
Hold on a second. Hey, what's going on? Did you ask Tiara? Oh, you're out. Okay. Okay. Okay, hold on one second. All right, so I have to end the show now. Thanks, everyone, for joining today. Stay tuned to part... Did you get that last text? Stay tuned to part three. Obaija, would you mind joining us again for part three next Sunday?
I should be able to.
All right, thank you so much. I apologize. I have to end the show now. I'm at work. I work and live at the same place. All right, so thank you so much, everyone, for joining in. Stay tuned to part three next week.
Okay,
okay. Over and out.
Yes, sister. Uh-uh.